The Benny Singleton Show. On stage tonight from Hollywood, the Penny Singleton Show.
If this is your first visit to our show, I suppose I should explain that in our story, I am Mrs. Penny Williamson. The little city I live in is called Middleton. It's a peaceful city, and I live on a peaceful street.
Mother!
I wish I could say the same about my house. Oh, dear, the telephone. Excuse me, just a moment.
Mother, please come upstairs. It's an emergency.
It always is. Margaret, could you answer?
I'm in the middle of getting breakfast.
Mother!
Dee Dee, I've got to answer the phone.
I'll answer it, Mrs. Williamson.
Oh, thank you, Margaret.
Mother, please.
I'm coming, Dee Dee.
Hello, Williamson residence. No, this is the cook, and I'm right in the middle of... Huh? What radio program am I listening to? At the moment, I'm enjoying the adventures of Nurse Marilyn Marble, all-American hot water bottle. Who's got time to listen? What? Information? There's four of us. Me, Mrs. Williamson, and the two kids. Gigi, she's going on 13, and Sue, she's 8. And now, if you'll please... No. No, Mrs. Williamson's a widow. The war, yes. Now, if you'll please... No, we don't have a television set. With two kids, who needs Milton Berle?
All right, Dee Dee, what did Sue do now?
Well, it was horrible, Mother, just horrible. I reached into the bathtub for a piece of soap, and I picked up a turtle.
Oh, Sue Williamson, come right out here this minute.
Mother, are you absolutely certain they didn't switch babies on you in the hospital?
I'm positive. Sue?
I'm coming.
Dee Dee, hurry up and get dressed.
What do you want, Mother?
She wants to know why your turtle was in the bathtub.
He needed exercise.
I'll handle this, Dee Dee. Go get dressed.
No wonder I'm a wreck at 13.
Now, Sue, we've had talks before about what goes in the bathtub, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
And what decision did we reach?
We decided that we wouldn't put goldfish in the bathtub.
Well?
This is different. Gregory Peck is a turtle.
I don't want any living things in the bathtub from now on.
Does that include D.G.?
Of course it does. Sometimes I don't think you appreciate how nice it is to have an older sister. When I was your age, your Aunt June was my older sister, and we had wonderful fun together.
Didn't she mind if you kept pets in your room?
Well, she... Well, now that I think of it, there was some trouble about a white mouse I had.
Did she ever tell on you if, just by accident, you had a turtle or something in the bathtub?
Oh, I don't think she... As a matter of fact, your grandfather once sent me a baby alligator from Florida. Yes, she had hysterics. I had it in the wash basin, though.
Did she ever get all silly and mad if one of your pets got loose in her bedroom, like my lizard did last week?
I never had a lizard, but one night my frog hopped into bed with her. Oh, she raised the roof. She screamed, and the whole family came rushing in, and I ended up with a spanking. Imagine, a spanking, just because a tiny little frog...
What were you saying about Aunt June?
I was saying that a girl is very lucky to have an older sister. Let's go have breakfast.
Here's your Wheaties.
Morning, Margaret.
Good morning. Where's Dee Dee?
She'll be right down. Thank you. Oh, Margaret, you have a different hairdo.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I've been wondering about getting a short bob like that myself. Charmaine do it for you?
Uh-huh. She says it's her most popular new hairdo.
She calls it the 1929 crash, Bob.
Don't you like it?
Nah. When my boyfriend saw it last night, my stock crashed, too.
Well, eggs will be right in.
What takes DG so long? DG!
I'm coming!
Mother, did you talk to Sue about the T-U-R-T-L-E?
Yes, she D-I-D.
Everything's settled.
If we'd gone on that picnic Sunday, Gregory Peck wouldn't need exercising.
I'm sorry about that. But I had to show some properties, and the clients were free only on Sunday.
You worked on Sunday twice in a row, Mother.
I know. Come to think of it, why didn't Mr. Wiggins take last Sunday? Why does the Williamson of Williamson and Wiggins always get stuck?
Mother, is he smarter than you are?
No. Wait a minute. We'll have that picnic, and we'll have it today. I'll just tell Mr. Wiggins I'm taking today off.
Oh, Mother!
But first, I have to stop at the office and pick up some property deeds, and then I have to return them to the city hall. I promised Judge Grundle I'd have them back this morning. It won't take me an hour.
Half of it will be spent arguing with Mr. Wiggins.
There'll be no arguments.
Mother,
hmm?
Is there any danger of you ever marrying him?
Oh, he's just a friend and a business partner.
I'd rather have Judge Grundle.
If you girls don't mind, I'll make my own mistakes. Stevie, would you answer the door?
Oh, it's Mrs. Duncan. I can see her on the porch. And Mother, she's holding some of your morning mail up against the sunlight.
Oh, dear. Let her in, D.G.
We're in the dining room, Mrs. Duncan.
Oh, good morning, Penny.
Sue.
Good morning, Ida.
I just came over to borrow some white thread. Oh, here's your morning mail. Picked it up on the porch.
Oh, and thank you for sorting it out.
Quite a few bills. Three of them. And a letter from your sister.
There is. How is she?
Oh, she says she's just fine. Penny, I'm sure I don't know what you mean. My, we certainly missed you at the church supper Sunday night.
I'd worked all day. I was exhausted.
Well, anyway, Judge Grundle was there with his mother. He looked absolutely lost without you.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, people were wondering why you weren't with him. Of course, some people thought you'd given him the go-by for Mr. Wiggins. My, people will talk, won't they?
Some people.
Gee, I wished I'd owned a kitten.
Excuse me, Ida.
Well, Sue, will you be glad when school's out?
Yes, Mrs. Duncan.
Hello. Oh, hello, Mrs. Foster.
We're going on a picnic today.
I know, but
you
I...
You are? That's nice.
I'm taking Gregory. He needs exercise.
I'm taking today
I'm sure.
What?
I'm wondering if we're today? Making too much noise.
Oh, right.
Oh, Mother can hear all right, Mrs. Duncan.
I know, but I can't. Who is it she's talking to?
I'll meet the counselor at the train. And we'll
is it a man or a woman?
All right. Bye.
Who was it, Penny?
Isabel Foster.
Oh, I suppose she called to tell you about her husband. Everybody's talking about it. When he came home from work one evening last week, she found a long red hair on his coat lapel.
Maybe he stopped to pet a collie.
She didn't call me about that.
Well, was it about her brother-in-law? They say, you know, that he...
It wasn't about her brother-in-law.
Well, my goodness, Penny. Aren't you going to tell me what it was? Are you going to keep it from me, your dearest friend?
Yes, Ida, I am.
Oh. Well, I must be going then. I've got a million things to do.
Don't you want your white thread?
What white thread?
Never mind, Ida.
Oh, well, I'll let myself out. Goodbye.
Bye.
Gosh, she certainly left in a hurry. What was the matter?
Oh, nothing's the matter. She's running back to her house so she can call Mrs. Foster.
Oh, did Mrs. Foster have something awful to tell you?
Oh, no, dear. She just reminded me that I'm the committee to meet the new summer camp counselor this morning. I'll pick her up at the station and take her on the picnic, too. If she's anything like the woman we had last year, she'll love going with us.
What's her name?
I don't know, dear. I didn't go to the last meeting.
Oh, dear. What are you laughing at?
Mrs. Duncan, phoning Isabel Foster. Ida's day will be wrecked when she finds out there's nothing to find out.
Well, Mrs. Foster, as one of Penny's dearest friends, I was worried. Yes, I was just over there, and she looked so, well, so odd after you called. I was afraid there was some sort of trouble, and... What? Oh. Oh, she just has to meet the new camp counselor. Well, I'm glad it was nothing more than just meeting the new woman who... What? The new camp counselor is a man. Does Penny know this? Oh, if she was at the last meeting, she does, A man. Oh, what? No, I wondered why she was so secretive, and I... Oh, my dear. Well, goodbye, dear. I've got a million things to attend to.
Tennessee, home of the Volunteers, Grand Old Opry, and TVA, the support of mighty dams which harness the power of myriad rivers and create miles of blue lakes where the cat, the crappie, and the sunfish wait to bait the summer angler. This is the state of the Great Smokies, advertised by 1,001 signs. See 7 states from Rock City, but characterized by towns like Spot, large enough to be just that on the map. In Tennessee is the site of the Hermitage, a palatial estate of white columns and red brick, which housed Andrew Jackson, but also the site of a humble cabin, which was the home of Sam Davis, boy hero of the Confederacy. Tennessee is ever a state of mind, clinging to glory that once was while reaching out for glory that may be. A state through which the Tennessee Central No. 9 still thunders, and in which, at Shiloh, at Murfreesboro, at Chickamauga, the rusty cannonballs lie silent, stacked forevermore in ordered number.
And now for Act Two of the Penny Singleton Show. It's just a few minutes later, and we find ourselves in the real estate agency of Williamson and Wiggins, where Penny works. Mr. Wiggins is already there, and wait a minute, so is Ida Duncan.
Oh, I hope you realize, Mr. Wiggins, I only told you this because I know how you feel about dear, dear Penny, and I...
Let me get this straight, Ida. She's going to phone me and tell me she's going to take the day off?
Yes.
And you tell me the whole thing's a cover-up so she can meet this new swoon goon?
Yes.
Well, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. She's always been open and above board with me. Never any subterfuge with Penny.
Well, won't you call it subterfuge if she pretends to you that the new camp counselor is a woman?
Well, I... No. Oh,
well, I must be running along. Goodbye, Mr. Wiggins.
Oh, Ida. You're not going to tell this to anyone else, are you?
Oh, you don't know me very well, do you? I wouldn't breathe a word of it.
Don't know her very well. Huh. It's not true. Not a word of it. Only competition I've got is Judge Grundle. She doesn't want him for a husband. Horace, you're pacing. Stop it. Stop it, Wiggins boy. You wouldn't believe anything a gossip like Ida Duncan. You're not upset, Wiggy lad. If you were really upset, you'd be talking out loud to your... Now, sit down. Take it easy. Relax. You don't believe her. You don't believe Ida Duncan. You just don't believe her. Horace! Now, sit down. There.
Good morning, Mr. Wiggins.
Oh, Penny, thank goodness you've come.
What?
Well, I can't explain to you, but more depended on your coming in today than any other day in the whole year.
Well, I'm glad, because I'm going to take the day off.
I mean, just before you came in, I...
Oh, Mr. Wiggins,
What's the matter? You look as pale as a drain thermometer.
No. Everything's all right. I just want to sit down. Why are you taking the day off?
Well, I've been...
Neglecting the children lately.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Wiggins, I never realized you were so observant and understanding and dear.
Yeah.
There's just one thing I have to do. I promised Judge Grundle to return these deeds to the courthouse this morning.
Penny.
Yes?
Are just you and the children taking the day off?
Oh, no. I'm taking the new camp counselor on a picnic. It'll make a nice first day in town for her.
Her?
See you tomorrow, Mr. Wiggins.
Her.
Doggone it, I'm not going to take this her business lying down.
Ida, have you told this story to anyone else?
Why, Judge Grundle, you certainly don't know me very well.
If Wiggins knew about this camp counselor, it would certainly serve him right. But it's not doing me any good either.
Oh, you poor, poor man.
That's where you're wrong, Ida. As a judge, I've had to face truth. I've had to face facts. The man who faces the truth and facts is a man who knows no fear. I am not afraid.
Oh, there's Penny coming up the corridor now.
Oh. Morning, Judge. Hello again, Ida.
Oh, hello, dear. I wish I could stay, but I must run. Bye.
Good morning, Penny.
Bye, Ida. Well, here are the deeds I promised to return, Judge Grundle. Why are you staring at me? Is something wrong?
Penny?
Yes?
You've always known me as a man who faces facts, haven't you?
I guess so. I've never thought about it.
You've known me as a man who faces the truth.
I think truth and facts are the same thing.
Yes, they are. Ergo, as a man who faces the truth, faces facts, it follows I am not afraid of truth and facts.
Judge, are you running for something this election?
Please. So, if I, Bessemer Grundle, am not afraid of truth, you, Penny Williamson, should never worry about telling me the truth, right?
Right.
Good. Now remember, I am not afraid. Now, for a direct question.
Shoot.
Are you planning to spend the day with the new summer camp counselor?
I'll answer that question.
No, stop. Don't tell me.
Well, I won't then. Goodbye, Judge Grundle.
Oh, you were afraid, Bessemer. No, pull yourself together. You'll go down standing up.
Oh, Gigi, the train's already in.
Gee, I wish we knew what the camp counselor looked like.
Just stop the first woman you see wearing sensible shoes.
Well, I'll yell if I find her.
All right, dear. Now, I'll take this.
Oh, there you are, Penny.
Why, Mr. Wiggins.
Penny, I'm here for your best interests.
Well, I'm sure, but I don't understand. Judge Grundle.
Penny, I thought it over, and a young, pretty widow like yourself needs... Oh.
Hello, Grundle.
Hello, Wiggins.
Just a second, please. By any chance, are you two following me? I wish you'd explain.
Well, Ida Duncan...
Ida Duncan?
Did Ida Duncan tell you, Grundle?
She told you, Wiggins?
Told both of you what?
She told me the new summer camp counselor was a man.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Now I know why you both behave so oddly. Oh, everything I said, you twisted around. Oh, well, this should serve both of you right for ever believing anything Ida Duncan tells you.
Well, you mean that she was just...
You know you should be ashamed of yourselves. To think that in all the years you've known me, to think you'd believe I'd try to deceive either one of you. I like both of you very much, and you should know I'd never do anything to hurt or upset you.
I feel like a heel.
I don't know if I can ever again face that portrait of George Washington in my courtroom.
Mother.
Why, D.G., yes?
This is the new camp counselor.
How do you do, Mrs. Williamson?
Henry!
Holy torpedo.
The name's Harrison, Frank Harrison. And your daughter tells me I'm going on a picnic.
Well, I...
We are all going on a picnic.
Isn't it a beautiful day? Perfect for the picnic, Mr. Harrison.
Oh, I like the country around Middleton.
Remember, I'm on the market for more turtles if anybody sees one.
My goodness, Judge Grendel and Mr. Wiggins have fallen way behind. Oh, Judge!
We'll be right along, Penny.
We're having a little talk.
It's a shame you have to carry all those lunch baskets, Mr. Harrison. May I help?
Oh, no, they're not heavy.
Now, look, Wiggins, no matter what our personal feelings about each other are, you've got to admit we're both faced with the same problem.
You mean, Rover Boy up there?
Well, actually, there's just one thing he's got that we haven't.
Muscles?
No, youth. That's where we've got to fight him. We've got to show Penny that even though we may have more mature minds, we are still young in heart.
I don't know about being young in heart, but we've got to wear him down, huh?
And between the two of us, we should be able to do it.
Well, let's walk a little faster and catch up with him.
Walk nothing. We're going to run, kiddo. I think they're just around the turn.
Yeah, they have... Better be.
Oh, here you are, Judge Grendel. And Mr. Wiggins.
Oh. Don't worry, men. We've only got 2 more miles to go.
Who's worried?
Mr. Wiggins, you look purple.
It's very becoming, Mr. Wiggins.
Come on, everybody. We want to get there before late afternoon. Mr. Harrison, you've led hikes before. You set the pace for
us. Oh, no. I'll set the pace. After all, we want to get there.
We'll set the pace, Wiggins.
I meant we, Judge.
Yeah. Come on there, Harrison. Don't straggle behind. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hunt, 2, 3, 4.
Hunt, 2, 3, 4.
Hunt, 2, 3, 4.
Can't they count higher than 4, Mother?
Judge, Mr. Wiggins, I think you're overdoing a little.
Overdoing nothing. Come on, Mr. Harrison. Don't straggle.
What are you looking back for, Judge? He's up ahead.
There's a log over the stream. We can cross on that.
I'm going to let Gregory Peck swim a little.
Why, Mr. Harrison, do you need a log to cross this stream?
Well, it's been a couple of years since I did any broad jumping.
The youth of today. It's been quite a few years since I was the champion broad jumper at Chicago. But my generation... Well, I mean...
Oh, Judge, you're not going to play leapfrog over this babbling brook.
Just stand back, everyone.
I think it's a little too wide, Judge.
Oh, nonsense.
What?
Go ahead, Judge.
Just get a little running start.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Oh, Judge Grendel!
Gregory!
Getting steeper.
Why don't we rest a bit before we do the last hitch?
Rest? Rest?
You're not tired, Mr. Harrison?
Well,
a young fellow like you, tired.
You hear that, Penny?
I'm just getting my second wind. Ever wrestle, Mr. Harrison?
Not while I'm taking a break.
Hear that, Judge?
Yes.
Come on, Judge. You and I wrestle.
All right.
Oh, but, Judge, you're still wet from the stream, and I...
Come on, Judge.
All right.
What was that, Wiggins?
Oh, I don't know. It sounded like it could have been...
My sacroiliac!
Oh, dear.
Mr. Wiggins.
Oh, don't touch.
Oh, Judge Grundle.
I can't stop it.
Oh, I can't move.
Oh, dear.
I'd better run back to town and get an ambulance for both of them.
I saw the doctor, Judge Grundle, and Mr. Wiggins. He thinks he can have you both out of the hospital in a couple of days.
Ow, you're shaking the room.
How are they feeling?
Better. Judge, Mr. Wiggins, I think both of you should thank Mr. Harrison for getting the ambulance so quickly yesterday.
Yeah.
Sorry you two are going to be laid up. I wanted to have a dinner party for you tomorrow night so you can meet my wife. She arrives tomorrow.
Your what? Your wife?
You, mean you're married?
Yes. Well, drop by and see you tomorrow. So long.
I'll be right out, Mr. Harrison. Well, boys, outside of feeling miserable, don't you both feel a little foolish? Oh, what a pair. Anyway, Mr. Wiggins, because of you, Sue got 100% in spelling for her final exam this morning.
Me? Well, what did I have to do with it?
Oh, because of what's happened to you, she knew how to spell sacroiliac.
Oh, don't miss it!
When I was a child, I used a little spelling game to remember Mississippi. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. Remember? Now, of course, I remember Mississippi in other ways, for other things. I remember Faulkner and Yoknapatawpha County, the aristocratic old plantations of Natchez, shrimp boats setting out from Biloxi. Many of you, too, must remember watching the oystermen off the shores of Passe Christiane or cotton pickers in Greenville, attending the Delta Staple Cotton Festival in Clarksdale, patting the Spanish moss on the giant oaks. Mississippi stirs remembrances in most people, even those who have never visited the Magnolia State, for the history and the name of the state and, yes, even the spelling game, make us stop to think and to ponder the wisdom behind the state motto, by valor and arms.
The Penny Singleton Show features Gail Gordon, Jim Backus, Sarah Selby, B. Benaderet, Mary Lee Robb, Sheila James, and Tom Brown. The music was composed and conducted by Von Dexter. The Penny Singleton Show is written and directed by Robert Soderbergh and stars Penny Singleton.
Good night. Keep well.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.